pray for us this evening. I have a burden on my heart. I don't very often say that. I feel like the Lord's been talking with us. I want to write something on the board. I want us to think a little bit tonight about the work of our precious Lord and Savior. Think about this term tonight, the meaning of the term. Sometimes throughout the ages, sometimes from translation from old times to today, you can have different meanings come down. But the meaning of this word is what I'm really after, and how it, at the beginning of this redemption story, I believe it meant much to that early morning church. This thought, the fact, what people can say that I'm redeemed, that meant much to them. And I think of that this afternoon or this evening, and how there's experiences that have been recorded for us in the Scripture that if you would ask them to come up and testify to us today, I believe they would talk to us and hear these songs that we sung this evening and hold their hands up to these songs and say, that's my story. That's part of it right there. I'm redeemed. 186 in our songbook. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed. Thank the Lord for that tonight. And that can be our story in today's world. I was talking to a brother earlier today. He doesn't say a whole lot here publicly, but he told me about his story. When years he was raised here and was exposed to all the truth and the joy of the Lord around the saints in his teenage years, he walked away and got over on the devil's territory. The devil abused him, got him involved in things he didn't hardly know how to get free from, and the Lord delivered him. And he's back here. I saw his face here tonight, and in tears today he told me of some regrets that he had out there, but also shared the joy that he has in his heart that the Lord has changed him and he has hope in his soul here tonight. Is that your story? I hope tonight, I know we're all going to have our own story, but part of what I want to share with us tonight is the hope for the person that may be here tonight that doesn't have this story, that doesn't have, that haven't, has not experienced the hope that's in this word. And I want to remind us tonight, and I don't want to get distracted and get too far off of this thought. I have a way sometimes of trying to say too much, and tonight I'm not here trying to see how long I can preach tonight. I want this thought to come through. I want the word of the Lord and the hope that he has for us to come into our heart and rest in our very soul. And may the Lord bloom in our hearts the greatest of hope, the greatest of understanding that you and I can be redeemed. I would like to think, if we could call, and I'm going to refer to it. I'm not going to try to go to the Scripture and read every meticulous word tonight. But there was somebody we know about in the Scripture called Legion. Y'all know his story. We call him the demoniac, the person who was so infested with evil. And we know his case. We look at that and we realize from our human understanding, we would look at the case like that and say, there is absolutely no hope. I believe tonight there are many places we go on the streets of this United States and we can find people very twisted in their minds. And we would look at them and say, I don't know about that person. I wonder if there's any help for that one. I want to tell you, Jesus found one like that. And he found him in the depths of his need. And if he came here tonight and was able to stand before us, he could say, I'm redeemed. Because he was changed. He met a power greater than the old force that held him in its clutches. There is yet a God tonight that knows the depth of our need, the complexity of the problem in his soul. And he's able, if we can come to him, we can bring our hearts to him and be willing to release who I've been. Give it to him. He's able to take that in his hands. He's able to take brokenness and make wholeness in there. He's able to take the staining of sin and wash it white as snow. He's able to bring hope where despair resides tonight. This is my King tonight I'm telling you about. This is the Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. And I want to tell us tonight, there is yet great hope in the latter waning days of 2024. There is a King that still sits on his throne. He is still able to take people in our greatest needs and bring a wholeness and a hope and a salvation and a cleansing of the heart, a redemption, a change in a life that's been wrong. Oh, I think, and I don't want to put words in Legion's mouth. I don't know. I would like to ask him his name someday. Legion, what's your name? We only knew him as Legion because that was what he was depicted as. But after that, we find him clothed and in his right mind because the Lord made a change. Thank the Lord. Another one. And that story, I just refer to maybe the verses. You can find that in Matthew. You can also find that in Mark. Matthew, the 8th chapter. Mark, the 5th chapter. Also want to point us now to a man who was in the inner circle of Jesus' disciples. He was one of those. Peter, James, and John. He was Peter in this circle. He was right there walking with Jesus. He was one that had a lot of desire. He thought, I'm going to be the one that'll go with you all the way. He had a lot of human ambition. He had a lot of intent. And that's all good. Jesus never told him he shouldn't have purpose and desire to follow the Lord. But it takes more than just purpose and desire. It takes the intervention of God in a person's life. This man entered into a temptation that he hardly knew. He didn't know how to handle, and he didn't handle well. And I think if any of us would have found ourselves in a place like he was in, I think we'd be sorely tried also. But I want to tell you, in the midst of that, we think of Peter and we see him very highly, and I still hold him very highly in my mind. I believe Brother Peter is one of those champions of our faith, but this night was a hard one for him. And we find Peter, and it's difficult for me to think this in my mind, that Peter this night lied. He did. He didn't tell the truth. He was cornered and said, weren't you with him? No, not me. Oh, yes, you sound like one of them. Well, this story is found over in Matthew, the 26th chapter. You can read it. I'm not going to get too into the details tonight. But this is what happened with Peter. He was found right there, and he watched his master being tortured and being accused and being whipped. The one who had always before been able to just speak the word, and all this went away. Waves would calm down when Jesus came by. All he had to do was speak the word and things changed. This night looked different to him. This night he felt alone and felt caught and confused, and he lied. Did it three times, vehemently. He came to a place, and then he heard, as Jesus had told him before, he had heard the cock crow. Now, I'm glad that the story doesn't end there. Oh, I'm so glad that the story doesn't end there. Because it said Peter heard the cock crow, and it brought him back to the place of what he'd heard Jesus say, this night won't end without you, before the cock crow, you will have denied me three times. And the cock crowed, and he said, that's true. That is the words of my Lord. I know it's true. He's still King. And he walked away looking in his bitterness of heart. Why did I do this? And he wept bitterly. It also said in one place that when the cock crowed, it said the Lord turned and looked at him. I don't know about you, but in my mind, there was a lot of redemption in those eyes. I believe when the eyes of our Master looked, and tonight, I want to remind us, wherever you are tonight, whatever may be weighing on your very soul tonight, I want to tell you, the eyes of the Master, the eyes of the one who hung on the cross, looks lovingly at you tonight. And there's a lot of redemption in those eyes. There's a lot of hope there. There's a lot of wooing. There's a lot of saying, son, you don't have to keep walking that way. I can make you whole. We find Peter changed after that. He met the Lord in a different way. It was more than just walking with him. He met him in all his depth and his kindness and his love and his redemption. Peter was changed. We're talking about redemption. We're talking about hope. We're talking about one who came to take lives. He did it for those back there, and they were left as examples to you and I today that what happened back there happens yet today. Every soul, we bring it to the Lord. If we bring ourselves to the Lord, He's able to take those broken places and give great hope and change. There's another one. I know him. You'll recognize him. I'll give you some hints. He went around trying to kill the early Christians. He hated Christ. He consented. You fellows, you want to stone Stephen? I don't like what he's saying at all either. Y'all angry with him? Let me hold on to your coats while you throw the stones. You go ahead. I'll hold you. I've got my hand on your back. You do it, boys. Get the stones and throw hard. And they killed Stephen. And I think perhaps he had a certain amount of sense of accomplishment. I guess I got rid of that heretic. But he left with something more than that, because there were some words that Stephen said. He said, Father, don't forgive them. Or he said, not don't forgive them, but he said, forgive them. And he looked up and he said, he saw Jesus standing. There they beheld the shine on Stephen's face. They saw the glory of the Lord. And that, I believe that did something to Brother Paul. I think there were some pricks began. And he was kicking against those. The memories when he... It's always been so. A good saint of God who got a hold of the Lord, they don't turn it loose. They won't turn it... This is mine. I've been changed. I'm not turning this thing loose. And I believe the brothers that he tormented and tortured, I believe every time Brother Paul did that, he saw a little piece of Christ in their face. And I think it pricked his heart. Well, this day, on the road to Damascus, with great intent in Brother Paul's, Saul of Tarsus' heart at this point, as he went on the road to Damascus, the Lord in His mercy came down there and met him and arrested him and confronted him and smote him and brought him down low until he was willing to say, Who art thou, Lord? And those eyes that he saw then through his blinded physical eyes, those eyes now he saw something greater than what he'd ever seen before. And he fell before that one who had confronted him. And our dear ones, the Lord in love confronts us. He's not there to try to drive you away, but he tries to stop us in our onslaught of running down the road of destruction. And that's where Paul was headed. And the Lord confronted him and brought him to a screeching halt and gave him a chance to choose. And that day he said, Who are you, Lord? We know, I want to tell you, I believe this word redemption had a lot of meaning to Brother Paul. I believe after that time, he came up from there and he began to understand that this was Jesus that I'm persecuting. This was my Lord and Savior. And from that point on, he made him his king. You are my Lord and you're my Savior. And he walked on then with a different idea, with a different revelation began to dawn upon his soul, and it meant something to him, and he was changed at this point. All the zeal before that he had turned toward persecuting the saints was now turned toward exalting his Lord and Savior. People heard the voice that he, the preaching that he had, and they were stirred and under and began to understand, and they were moved and drawn to this because they saw a change. This was a man of God now. He no longer spoke like he used to. He was changed. He still had the desire and zeal of life, but the Lord had co-opted it, had sanctified it, had set it apart for his use. And Brother Peter and Brother Paul then was one who taught us about this redemption story. One of those that did. They talked to us about the precious blood of the Lamb. There was a redemption. There were those through the blood of bulls and goats, and it could only go so far, but he said, we're not purchased by those. We're purchased by the blood of the Lamb, by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Thank the Lord today. We have this Redeemer. Brother Paul, I believe if we could get him, I'd love to have him stand up here before us tonight and preach to us and tell us the redemption story. But I want to tell you that we all can have that redemption story that we can share with those around us. We have the best of news to share with the world. We have something that can change. The God of heaven still touches lives and changes and redeems and brings us back to a place of great hope, a place of great future, a place of purpose in our life. This is the one who takes people that are troubled, that are messed up in the mind, the soul is darkened, and he brings light and life and hope and direction. He does that yet tonight. And we can have that story to share with all those around us tonight. I believe if Brother Paul was here, he would tell us about this redemption story. I believe he could tell us what that meant. I wouldn't have to go to Webster to find out. Folks, I want to tell you tonight, get to know the author of the Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. Get to know him, and you won't have to have Webster either to define it. You'll know it's be real in your soul. Thank the Lord tonight. I want to also point us to another woman that she was caught in the very act. She was caught and guilty. I don't know how you think she must have felt. I like to think of that. And she, back at that time, it was Moses' law that you would take and stone and kill somebody like this. And you know the story. She was brought to the Lord. And this is found in John 8. The woman taken in adultery. But the point I want to read to you right now is John 8 and 11. When Jesus lifted up after he'd written on the ground and looked up and there was nobody there, and he said to her, where art thou in accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. And this is what Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. What sweet words to the sin-laden soul. When it's heavy, and you say, what am I going to do with what I got on my hands? I know I'm guilty, and I deserve the stones. I deserve not living. But she didn't meet the stones that day. She met one who paid the price. She met one who looked lovingly back at her and said, I don't condemn you either. It's not that she wasn't guilty. He had wiped her sins away. He has the power of doing that. He's our Lord and Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's the one that has the ability. He can see our broken heart and our desire to be different. Lord, I don't know how. I don't know how to get from where I am now to your holy place of living. I want it so bad, but I don't know. And Jesus can look at you and say, it's all forgiven. It's wiped away. I paid it all. neither do I condemn thee. And then he finishes up by saying, go and sin no more. He doesn't say that lightly. He says that also with great hope. Folks, what precious truth. Then he speaks to the reborn soul. You don't need to honor your old master. You're not part of that anymore. You're a child of mine. Oh, I was listening to the songs tonight. I could hardly contain myself because my mind kept running back to the night that the Lord lifted me. I've got a story, and you probably get tired of hearing it. I won't recount it to you all tonight. But I want to tell you, I remember how it felt that night when the load rolled off my shoulders. I've never been the same. It changes you. It just does. And now, folks, I wish I could tell it. Brother Rod shared some about that poem tonight about how the devil will take people and wear them out and make them look uncomely and they don't sound good. They're out of tune and really auctioned awfully cheaply. Just a bowl of pottage, something that's not very eternal at all, and so swiftly passing by. And the devil takes and then he laughs at our ruined place. And then he'll whisper and say, but your Lord doesn't love you anymore. There's no way to get back there from here. He'll say it's too far. But I want to tell you tonight, the Lord shortens the way. I remember the night that I began, and the devil was telling, I'm just telling you what all the devil told me that night. He said, you went too far. There's too much between here and there. The tangle is too much. There's no way it can be unraveled. And I thought, I can't do it. I don't know how. Even if I tried, I don't know how I'd get there. But I remember when I began to step. I don't even remember my first step. I remember reaching for the handle of the door of the vehicle I was in. That's quite a story. I won't go into all of it. But when I began to move toward the altar, that distance. And folks, it was a lot longer between here and back there. I was in the parking lot that night at Monarch. I wasn't even under the chapel. And I had to go a long ways to the altar, but I don't remember the path between there because the Lord shortened that distance. I came defiled and guilty. And I want to tell you, the Lord met me there. This is my story. This is my story. I want to read to you a little bit of what Isaiah, the gospel prophet. I know this story there in Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah was talking, the Lord was talking through Isaiah toward Israel, and they had sinned and gotten so far away. But this verse is very applicable to us tonight. Everyone, if we find a place in our soul, and perhaps maybe you're saved, but maybe you even have some tangled places, some places you don't know how to deal with. Jesus says, come, let us reason together. Listen to the sweetness of those words. Listen to the intent of those words. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, folks, I've got things tonight that I'm glad that my Lord doesn't remember. I'm glad they're under the blood. I'm so glad. He said, come to me and I'll... all that looks so ugly right now, I can change it. I can paint a different picture there. And he does. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I like that. Oh, that's so much hope. And that's, he looks at us and admits and recognizes never, he doesn't say, there's no problem here. He didn't say, well, you go ahead and just do whatever you want to. We all go to the same place. That's not what Jesus says at all. There's a place for the redeemed. And God wants to do some more redeeming tonight. Tonight. I don't want you, if you're here tonight and you need the Lord, I don't want you to think about tomorrow. I want you to think about now. Because tonight is the night that the Lord wants to be your redeemer. The Lord wants to take you in His arms and say you're forgiven. Say, I don't condemn you. And then empower you to go and sin no more. This is my Redeemer. This is my King. What I'm telling you about tonight and the story that, and there's many more places in the Scripture that we could read to talk about people that Jesus touched and changed, made a difference in their life. And we have a cloud of witnesses. We have some that Brother Rod talked about here tonight that people have set in these benches. There's faces I don't see here tonight that used to be here, and they were faithful unto the end. I looked a little bit out there in the graveyard. I envy some of them, I sure do. Oh, but for faithful unto the end, I want to tell you, we can go and sing our songs with them around the throne of glory. How about your song tonight? Can you sing I'm Redeemed? If you can't do it now, come and begin your song. Because there's great hope in our Redeemer. Pray for me. I want to serve Him. I want to invite you tonight. The Lord's talking with you. Come to the great lover of your soul.